Time to talk about golf courses in Wisconsin, and particularly Wisconsin's best golf courses, with two guests. Jeff Mayer is with me in the studio, and Jerry Poling, who is on the telephone, I believe. No, I'm sure he is. They are the co-authors of Golf Wisconsin, the official guide to the state's top 25 public courses, plus 50 more fun places to play. It's published by Jones Book. I've had a lot of fun looking through the book. I've played a lot of these courses myself, and some more that I wish I had played and will play now that I've had a chance to look at them again. Certainly, if you have some questions or comments or stories to tell, I've got a story or two to tell as well about golf. Especially, I've got a great story about Whistling Straits when I played there. Anyway, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. As I said, Jeff Mayers is with me in the studio. Jeff, welcome back. Nice to have you with us.
Great to be here, Larry.
And with us by phone, Jerry Poling. Jerry, hi.
Hi, how are you doing, Larry? Good to be on the show.
Well, thanks a lot for being with us. I should let you know that Jeff is president of Wispolitics Publishing in Madison, co-author of two previous golf guide books. Jerry Poling is the Newswire editor and a columnist for the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram. He's the author of Wisconsin Golf Getaways and author of books on the Green Bay Packers and of Henry Aaron and Eau Claire Baseball. So we're really happy to have them here today to be with us. And getting a little bit of feedback. I don't know. We'll probably resolve that issue as we go along here as we talk with Jerry. But, boy, this must have been a really tough job to go out and
back-breaking research.
Back-breaking research. Do you guys play all these courses? Jeff, I'll start with you.
Well, between us, we've played them all, and we haven't played them all together. Mm-hmm. But between Jerry and I, we've played them all and enjoyed them all. It's as we say, welcome to our tour of Wisconsin along the way, because you get to see some of the most beautiful spots in Wisconsin when you're visiting these courses.
Absolutely, and Jerry, you must have enjoyed putting this book together.
Well, golf has always been one of my passions. I grew up in Wisconsin and started playing golf here at about age 12. So even back when I was 12, 14 years old, I was traveling to places like Lawsonia to play golf to find the best courses in the state. So I've long followed, where the best places are to play, and it's just been a great joy of mine to be able to get out and try these exciting, some of them exciting new courses and some of them traditional courses that have been here for so long and still are just outstanding places to play in Wisconsin.
Yeah. And I tell you what, it's got to be kind of a subjective in a way. I mean, there are some courses that I think by anybody's standards would just stick right out as being outstanding golf courses. But what criteria did you use? And maybe, Jeff, I'll start with you to select these courses.
Well, yeah, it is subjective, but Jerry and I, we've been doing this for quite a while, traveling around the state, and so a lot of this was intuitive in a way. But what we wanted to do is get 25 public courses that everybody can play, spread around the state, so that if you're traveling around the state, major tourist areas or on vacation, you're going to have one of these courses is going to be in the area. And so, but, we like courses that are in good shape, take you to pretty places. You can walk on them. And a lot of these courses are very affordable, especially before Memorial Day and after Labor Day.
Yeah, and many of them are quite affordable. And this thing, that brings me to a little question just about golf in general. We've had such an increase in building courses around in various parts of the state. Certainly Madison area is one of those areas where we've had a number of new courses over the last several years. That's kind of brought prices down a little bit, or made them competitive.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely competition in the Madison market, and there's kind of a shakeout in the market too with some of the courses going private or trying to go private. In many ways, sort of the golf industry is in flux now in Wisconsin after this golf building boom of the 90s.
And Jerry, what about the North? I've played some great courses in the North, but what's the status of golf course situation? Let's put it that way in northern Wisconsin.
Well, you don't have as many private courses up here as you do southern and southeastern Wisconsin. Most of them are designed for the public. A lot of them are resort courses, tourist destination courses, especially you get up by the Hayward area, and I think every course up there is public and has always been that way. And there definitely are more what we call destination courses now than, you know, when I grew up 60s, 70s in Wisconsin, you had a hard time finding a good course. You had to travel 100, 150 miles. Now you've got one virtually within an hour's drive anywhere in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and many times they're within 45 minutes of where you are. So there's just a lot of really fine courses. For example, a Pete Dye course built in Hayward just a few years ago. So you can go up there and play an outstanding golf course in the Hayward area, and then you can skip over to the Eagle River area and play, you know, several more really outstanding public courses there.
You know, you mentioned the Hayward course, and even though I have a cabin up in that area north of there, I have yet to play Big Fish, isn't it?
That's right, yep.
What's the history on that course?
It was a cornfield and a little bit of a timber lot owned by some people for years, and they decided it was sold, and then the people who developed it wanted to bring a big name in there, and they called Pete Dye, and when they got him on the phone, he didn't even know where Hayward, Wisconsin was. Even though, of course, he'd been to Whistling Straits and designed those courses over there, he honestly didn't know where Hayward was. But he came and designed this great course, which is kind of spectacular in a sense that it's like University Ridge in Madison. The first nine is a prairie-like course, reminds you a little bit of Whistling Straits, not quite the same. No trees, built in a cornfield. And the back nine is a classic Wisconsin Northwoods course, built, cut right out of the forest. This great scenery. Just a lot of fun holes. So you get really two different courses in one 18-hole design there.
And it is sort of set up quite a bit like the University Ridge golf course here in Madison, as you say. And that it's kind of a nice treat to sort of get two different courses in one.
Yeah, I think people really like it because it's really just a lot of different challenges there. 1-9 is exposed to the wind, and the second 9, you're out of the wind, and you're really battling the trees and more of what you think is the classic northern elements. And you know, a lot of the courses up way up north are cut right out of the trees. This one's not quite so demanding in terms of accuracy. The trees are brushed back quite a bit, but you still have that great setting where you're just alone in the woods, and that's really one of the things that up there that you really want to go. You like to play golf in the woods and get away from it all up there.
What is it about golf that has, you know, you look at Minnesota and you look at Wisconsin, the number of golfers in this state for a state where what's the average season length? It's not, certainly not 12 months.
Right. Even with global warming, we still have a shorter season than they do in Florida and in Texas and Arizona. But these Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin are often leaders in the numbers of golfers and the intensity of golf. I think it's because we want to try to get in as many rounds as possible before the weather turns lousy.
Yeah, that's probably it. And I wondered, you know, you take a Pete Dye course, Jerry Poling, I'll just turn this back to you for a minute, in a place like Hayward, Wisconsin, with an even shorter season, I would think, and I'm pretty sure, than in southern Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's definitely a little shorter up there.
How do they make it?
I think it's that's probably a good question. But I couldn't tell you exactly because there are a lot of courses up there that do. I think the tourist attraction is so strong in the summer. You know, Hayward area is about 2,000 people, but in the summer there's probably 40,000 people up there in their cabins for 3 to 4 months.
Right.
And the number of golfers in that region is so strong, and the people want to get out and play that I think the number of rounds is pretty high. There's, of course, the Hayward Golf and Tennis Club in Hayward. It's not one of our top 25, but also a very good course. I think gets 40 to 60,000 rounds a year just because, and it's just a lot of tourists up there, and they make their money in 3 or 4 months.
Right. You have to remember also that's a heavy influence of the Twin Cities market there, that Edina Realty is probably one of the biggest realty companies in western Wisconsin, and that's because that's where a lot of the Twin Cities folks are going. So it's not unlike the southern tier courses that are getting a lot of Illinois traffic. So, I think that they make their money in the hot season between Memorial Day and Labor Day.
You know, and it's kind of interesting. I played in a golf tournament in Saskatchewan just a couple of weeks ago.
So you're on the tour?
Well, it's a tournament I play in every year, and it's a lot of fun. You know, 64 guys, and we have a good time doing it. But in Saskatchewan, I was trying to imagine how they get the number of rounds they get on some of the courses, and then I was reminded that this time of the year and through the summer, it's light for a pretty long time, and people can go out and play golf at 8 o'clock at night, start, and still get a round in.
That'll lengthen the season, yeah.
That'll lengthen the season for sure. Yeah. Talking with Jeff Mayers and Jerry Poling today, co-authors of Golf Wisconsin, the official guide to the state's top 25 courses. You have a question or comment for them, or maybe you've got a story to share. I've got one I'm going to tell you about Whistling Straits after the news here. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Talking golf and golf courses today with Jeff Mayers and Jerry Poling, who are co-authors of Golf Wisconsin, the official guide to the state's top 25 public courses, plus 50 more fun places to play, published by Jones Books. They'll be doing some signings. We want to talk with them a little bit about that and talk some more about the content of the book, and certainly welcome your questions or comments. Maybe there's an area that you're visiting and want to know about a great course in the area. Give us a call, or maybe you've got a story to tell. 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions or comments. One of the things that struck me about the book, aside from the description of the courses, was the wonderful photography. You've got some beautiful golf course photos in there, Jeff.
Yeah, and I just wanted to, and most of those photos came from Paul Hundley. Paul Hundley is one of the premier golf course photographers in the Midwest, and Paul's from Greater Milwaukee, and he, in fact, is going to appear with me at a book signing tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock at the Mequon Schwartz. And so, like we were talking in the break, a lot of people take a camera out on the golf course, think they got a great photo, but then, hey, it doesn't turn out so well. So I think Paul can help people with that. Another guy who helped us out with the photographs a lot was Gary Knowles from Madison, and
I know Gary very well.
But we there's a lot of great color pictures in here, and it really helps set the scene for the courses we picked.
And you probably should just mention you've got a description of the course, and tell us about
just a little bit about the format here. What we tried to do was, is for the top 25 was, provide you sort of the essential information. So it starts off with a great picture. Then we have an info box, tells you the yardage and the architects and where to call, the website and how to get there, directions. And then we have a hole to beat, which I think, you talk about subjective, this is a very subjective thing. But, what we did was, try to find a hole that, the hole that people are going to talk about after the round, after they play one of these courses. So, we picked a hole that we thought was, a short par four that was especially challenging, or a long par five, like the cover shot here, at Whistling Straits, one of those courses where if you miss it, you dump it in Lake Michigan.
Yeah, that's a. Have you played? Have you guys both? Jerry, have you played Whistling Straits?
Yes. Yeah.
Jeff, you played it?
Yeah.
I played it, and we're going to go to Al here. He's been waiting a long time, but I'll just tell the one story about playing Whistling Straits. That'll be my one golf story. The night before, my wife and I were there, and we were dying. We're staying overnight at the hotel there, and we were eating at the Horse and Plow, name of the restaurant, and looked over, and there was George Wendt, Norm from Cheers, sitting with what looked like maybe his son and another young man, and I said, and I was just up there on my own, so I said, it'd be fun if I got lined up with them. And so, sure enough, the next morning, I get out to the tee, and there's George and his son and this other kid who happened, I guess, was Dennis the Menace in the movie. George says, "Where are the carts?" and I said, "Well, George, you got to walk this course. We've got caddies will carry your clubs." He said, "Well, you may have to walk, but I don't have to walk. He said, kids, you go on. I'll come walk it out and join you on the 15th hole and walk in with you. So that's exactly what he did. And his son and his son's friend played from the back tees and were par on the front and running par on the back until he got out there. And then I think they triple bogeyed the last three holes.
Well, yeah, was it? Well, the thing about Whistling Straits is if it's a windy day, though, nobody's going to be scoring too well. I remember going up there. I was there on a very windy day once, you know, where you're playing either downwind in a 40-mile-an-hour wind or into a 40-mile-an-hour wind, which neither of which was helping me. But I also was up there for one of the practice rounds of the 2004 Men's PGA. And by the way, they're having this July 4th week, they're having the U.S. Seniors Open up there, which is the big one of the big tournaments here in Wisconsin this year. But anyway, on the practice rounds, there were a lot of complaints about the wind and the course being too tough, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I saw some of these pros just give up on their tee shots during the practice round because they couldn't even make the fairway. But then, then the weather turned benign and sunny and, they scored pretty well until that very last day when the wind picked up. So it really is a course of the elements, just like the courses in Great Britain and Ireland.
Let's go to Alan Appleton, who's been patiently waiting. Al, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm going to be up in the Copper Falls State Park area later this summer. And what kind of courses do you have or would you recommend up there?
Well, let's go to Jerry first for that. Jerry?
Well, as far as in this book, the course that we included from that region was Madeleine Island Golf Club on Madeleine Island. And maybe you've played that, maybe you haven't, but that's just an outstanding experience because, of course, you first have to take the ferry over to Madeleine Island, and then you've got a Robert Trent Jones Senior course awaiting you. And one of the neat things about that course is it's just a 9-hole course, but it was designed to play as an 18-hole course because they have many double greens and double fairways and different sets of tees, so you can play a different 9 each time around.
Is that off of Bayfield?
Yeah. Well, yes. You take the ferry from Bayfield over to Madeleine Island. And once you get over there, it's just a short drive to the course. And you can, of course, see parts of Lake Superior from the course.
Cool.
It's a beautiful course because they ferried topsoil from the mainland across to Madeleine Island to help build that course because it was such a rocky shoreline area. And, of course, Robert Trent Jones Sr., one of the premier designers in the country, and he wanted to do it right, and they dug out a lot of trees from that rocky hillside and really created a very pretty course. That, one thing you might be a little surprised is when you play that far north in that short of a season, the conditions are not going to be what they are in southern Wisconsin. You've got that lake affecting the growing conditions severely, and it may be, maybe not quite as thick a grass or as perfect a conditions as you used to, but you'll find the experience, I think, really worthwhile.
And Jeff, you have one too.
Yeah, I would add that in our 50 other fun places to play, we list the Apostle Highlands course, which is in Bayfield. So that's you go to Bayfield before you take the ferry over, and on top of the hill there in Bayfield, there is a 18-hole course where you spectacular views of Madeleine Island, and on a clear day, some of the other Apostle Islands. So I think you could make quite a nice little golf trip out of those two courses.
Yeah, okay, great.
Actually, a third course in that region, too, in Ashland, called Shawamigan Bay Golf Club. It used to be Ashland Elks, and they redesigned it. Architect from River Falls by the name of Garrett Gill redesigned much of the course and turned it into a pretty nice 18-hole course now. You have some very nice views of Shawamigan Bay from the upper holes on that course.
Okay.
All right.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. I appreciate your call. And let's go to Steve in Fish Creek. Your turn, Steve. Hi, thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for hearing me out. I'm concerned about, a component of natural beauty, and I'm wondering if any of your evaluation or discoveries led you to find that Wisconsin has any Audubon-certified golf courses. And I'll just listen off the air.
All right. Thanks for calling. Audubon certified courses.
There. First of all, there's some I think, dispute in use of the term Audubon. I mean, my memory is of this, and is that the Audubon Society did not necessarily sanction this, and so there was a dispute. But these courses that have this certification are trying to be green. I'm not positive, but I think Teal Wing, Jerry Poling, isn't Teal Wing near Hayward?
Yes, that was one that was designed under those specifications, and I don't know if it's still in that program or not, but they did do a lot of things there because the owners of the course also own a resort surrounding the course, and they are very particular about their trees and their water around there, and they really did a lot of things to make sure it was designed correctly and really enhanced wildlife rather than detracted from it. For example, they built bridges over little lowland areas that where they did not even sink anything into the water, where they used floating bridges using like these big drums, 50-gallon drums, and built and used these and went by Audubon certification or specifications to build these things, and took down as few trees as possible, which in the long run, they found out they had to take down a few more because people couldn't hardly find the fairways up there. They were so narrow. They did it. They really did. And I know there are other courses around the state that have tried to follow the Audubon specifications, but I couldn't remember any other ones right offhand other than Teal Wing.
One of the things I could mention is that there's a renewed interest and program at the University of Wisconsin because the O.J. Knorr Turf A research center is located right on the edge of the University Ridge Golf Course, and one of the priorities of the researchers there and of the golf course itself, the University Ridge Golf Course, is to be as sustainable and as chemical-free as possible. And so they're doing a lot of research at the UW, at the O.J. Knorr Research Center, to sort of bring that whole concept along. So I appreciate the call, Steve. Thank you very much for calling. If you'd like to join in, the number to call 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and with your comments. We'd love to hear from you, or you've got a story to tell. Maybe you've got a favorite. We'd love to hear what you have for a favorite course as well. Give us a call. One of the courses that you have in your book that I have not had a chance to play yet myself, but there certainly has been plenty of publicity about it in the last year, has been Erin Hills, a course called Erin Hills. You want to talk about that a little bit, Jeff?
Yes. Erin Hills, this is located in northwest of Milwaukee in the Kettle Moraines, and it is it's really a special place for golf. Pete Dye he and his bulldozer crew, crafted dunes and mounds along the shores of Lake Michigan there. This course, they move very little dirt to create this course. It really is sort of a natural inland links course. And Herzen and Fry did this, very popular designers these days. And it is... the USGA, the United States Golf Association, very persnickety folks, right? They awarded one of their tournaments to this course before the place even opened. It opened late last year, and it's really a special place to golf. They talk about the Sea of Fescue, so there's not you're not playing really in a lot of water, but. There's Sea of Fescue, which some smart aleck golf writer said means, in Gaelic, means losing your golf ball in Gaelic. It's really quite a great course. And so I encourage everybody to try to find out about that one. You get a view of Holy Hill in the distance, and there's another course where you have an even better view of Holy Hill, and that's the Washington County course.
Well, I think one of the, before we go back to the phones, one of the interesting things about that course is that the owner, the guy who developed it, tiered the pricing to favor Wisconsin residents. So there's a separate there's a lower price if you're from Wisconsin than if you're from somewhere else.
Right. So, yeah. So, hey, I mean, we can, you know, we could all show our driver's license with pride there.
Okay. Paul in Grafton, it's your turn. Hi, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Jeff and Jerry. This is Paul Hundley calling.
Oh, Paul.
Good morning, Paul.
Hi, Paul. Good to hear from you.
See you tomorrow night. One thing I thought you'd be interested, I just heard you speaking about Erin Hills, and I just got off the phone with the Florida people at Golf Digest, Golf Magazine, rather, again this morning, and they've been featured twice now since October, and they'll be featured again, it looks like, in July.
Yeah, so it's getting a lot of national acclaim.
A lot of national press. But I just wanted to mention to you, Jeff, that for tomorrow night's show, I just finished up that slideshow. There will be a slideshow that we'll be showing tomorrow night at the book signing.
Well, I tell you what, Paul, give us if you got one hint or two for those of us who get on the golf course with a camera and shoot a picture here or there. And I tell you, the ones that I've shot have not turned out what I had hoped. What's the common mistake we make as just sort of amateur photographers out there on the golf course?
The biggest thing is timing is everything, and there's simply nobody who can make a golf course look good in the middle of the day, and that's when most pictures are taken. So I guess my answer is either get there before your round or stay after your round, but don't shoot between about 9 and 5.
9 and 5. Yeah, that's probably pretty good advice. Thanks, Paul.
Okay.
Appreciate it very much. And as Paul was saying, he was mentioning the signing, and people, for those who didn't hear that, you guys have got some book signings. I want to mention that before we go to Paul in Wauwatosa.
Okay, why don't I just run down the ones that I'll participate in, and then Jerry has one that he can mention. Tomorrow night at the Schwartz in Mequon, I, Jeff Mayers, and Paul Hundley, the photographer, will be there to talk about the book and like Paul said, do a little slideshow of the pretty courses. Then on June 14th at the Barnes & Noble West in Madison, on the west side of Madison, I'll be there. And then Jerry has one on the 16th, Saturday the 16th, right, Jerry?
That's right, at Walden Books at the Oakwood Mall in Eau Claire.
Very cool. All right, let's go to Paul in Wauwatosa then. Paul, hello to you.
Hi, Larry. I was wondering what your guests thought about, they just mentioned the Washington County Golf Course near Hartford and its designer, its architect, Arthur Hill, and his style. If they have any thoughts about his style, he's a very prolific golf course architect. I just wonder if they had any thoughts on that. I'll take an answer off the air. Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. Jerry, comment from you first?
Well, I haven't played Washington County, but I have played another course he designed in La Crosse, the La Crosse Country Club, of course a private course. But I know that particular style. When I first played the course, it looked sort of unimpressive to me when I first looked at the course. The greens weren't pushed up greens, no mounding around them. They were sort of easy entry greens, had a lot of collection areas. And the course just blended so well with the landscape that it just didn't. You looked at it and it just looked almost like a painting. Then you started playing it and you realized that he had these subtle ways of designing the course that it was much more difficult than it looked. Just the difficulty of the greens, the placing of the bunkers, the shaping of the fairways, and it really is, he's really a master of what he does. I mean, I was so impressed with how he did the La Crosse Country Club. And if Washington County is anything like that, I've heard that it's a very good course, I would definitely go out of my way to play an Arthur Hills course.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. He uses what he gets, essentially. I mean, why you would call Pete Dye a sort of an audacious designer, he shapes it. Arthur Hills is sort of using what he gets. At Washington County, you've got a lot of wetlands. It's a mostly treeless landscape, but you've got a lot of hidden bunkers, hidden hazards,
like
Jerry
course.
Says, yeah, it's, yeah. There's another course. If it's windy, watch out.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. Thank you very much for calling. Well, now, do you guys have favorites of your own, Jerry? Have you got a favorite?
Well, probably in my part of the state, if I could pick one course up here, I'd probably play Troy Byrne over in between Hudson and River Falls. That's partially designed by Tom Lehman, the PGA Tour pro who grew up in the Twin Cities area and has some connections to Western Wisconsin. Again, more of an inland links course, but the back nine there is described by a Wisconsin State Golf Association official as maybe one of the best back set of nine holes he's ever seen. It's just beautiful holes with some water, not many trees, but just a really a collection of nine holes where one after the other is just an outstanding hole.
Hmm.
And you get a little bit of this course was designed right after Lehman won the British Open, and he had brought some British Open effects to that course. There's a short par three there with a stacked sod wall on one of the bunkers, and you get in that, and it's like a 10-foot wall you've got to blast out if you get under the green, and some other pot bunker, British Open style pot bunkers. It's just really really well designed. They had a nationwide tour event there a couple of years ago, so you're playing on really PGA Tour condition course as far as the tightness of the fairways, speed of the greens. More than 120 bunkers on the course. Just really an outstanding golf course.
Jeff, what about you?
Well, I think this name has come up before. It's the links at Lasonia for me. I mean, I used to hedge when asked this question. I didn't want to offend anybody, but I don't think I offend any course that when I say that the links at Lasonia is a special place. There's 36 holes there, but I'm talking about the Inland Links course that was the first 18 holes there. It opened in 1930. It had a pro tournament of its own with the likes of Byron Nelson and Sam Snead, who played there. They've done some restoration work in recent years to bring it back to even more what it was like when it was originally designed by Langford and Moreau off of designs of courses in Great Britain and Ireland, and it's really a treat to play, and it's got a lot of great history, and it's kind of a serene setting in part because the American Baptist Convention runs the place, so there's a religious aura about it.
Well, I tell you, it is a wonderful course. I also actually enjoy playing the Woods course there as well.
Oh yeah, I mean it's a great course. The Woods course is great, and then right nearby there you got Tuscumbia, also a Green Lake, which is one of the oldest courses in the state. And then down the road you have Mascouten, which is one of the featured courses in our book. So you can't go wrong there with if you took 3 days and played those three courses, you'd be doing pretty good.
And I've done that. I've had a lot of fun doing it too. And I guess one of the nice things, how I'm going to use your book here, I'm just going to go through the book, and I've played many of these courses, but many of these courses I haven't played yet. So I'm going to use this book of yours as a guide to get me around Wisconsin and to play more courses. We tend to sometimes, because we have so many close by, we tend to play maybe the same course a lot, and that's good. It's good to learn a course, but it's also fun to try something new.
Right, but yeah, and the book is designed to be portable, carry with you in your glove box or in your golf bag. And my advice, when you go to a strange course, some of these courses can be tough. Play them from the short tees, experience the course, have fun with it.
Yeah, I think that's a mistake that a lot of people make, is trying to play from too far back.
Yeah, I mean, if you played it before, that's another thing. The other thing is that this weekend is coming up is the free golf weekend in Wisconsin. Kids can play free at many courses in the state, and you can go to travelwisconsin.com and find out a list of those courses. A kid has to be with a paying adult, but you can find a list of those courses, and many of those courses happen to be in the book.
Jeff, Jerry, thank you both very much for being with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Larry.
Jeff Mears and Jerry Poling, author of Golf Wisconsin, the official guide to the state's top 25 courses and 50 more fun places to play. There's a lot of fun out there. And it's fun having you listening in. Stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.